Hello, mate.
Hey, Austin. How you doing?
Good. How are you, boys?
Very good. Are you in London or are you... Where are you?
I'm out a little bit out in the sticks in High Wycombe, out that way. Not a million miles out of town, but far enough out to get some fresh air and keep a bit of sanity going.
Right, should we kick it off then?
Yeah, go on.
Are you currently working? Have you had any chance to get any work in or look at anything, the scripts wise?
I have actually. I've had a sort of few little nibbles at a few things, which has been obviously good to see some stuff rather than, you know, thinking that people aren't doing anything. I've been helping an agency out on a pitch as well for something, which has been quite good fun. It's a bit odd, isn't it? I mean, I sort of, in a strange way, I sort of feel a little bit happy in a way that I haven't particularly had to do a job since this has been going on, because all I've heard from people that have actually shot anything during the lockdown is what an absolute fucking nightmare it's been, just as far as sort of, you know,
trying to get stuff done. Yeah,
well, yeah, and I think technically as well, you know, for sort of directors, it's I did a test with a company down in Uruguay a few weeks ago just to sort of work out, you know, like a Zoom thing, and they were shooting something in a studio and it worked really well, and I thought, actually, you know, well, that's probably pretty good. And then about an hour later I thought about it and thought, fuck me, it's like, it's all right if it's one person in a studio, but you know, you add to that agency, client and all the rest of it, you know, it's a tricky sort of thing, I think. But there seems to be work around, people seem to be busy, people seem to be optimistic about stuff, which I think is good, which is sort of always a thing, isn't it, in advertising, I think, really, that people try and make the best out of what they kind of get thrust in front of them. It's been a tricky old time, but at least the weather's been good, I suppose.
So do you think, Austin, you would have learnt anything that you'll take forward once things normalise a bit, either technically or about yourself or anything?
The technical sort of side of it, I think, is quite an interesting one, because I've sort of worked at the mill for 15, 20 years anyway. So I sort of, that side of it does sort of still interest me. I think as far as directing goes, it's a tricky process. I think there's elements to how people are shooting, or in theory are going to shoot now, that seem to be a bit more compacted, maybe a bit more defined, and a bit more, I think the process will slimline a bit, and I think that will probably be a good thing. I think for production, I think it'll be a good thing for agencies and clients. I think it'll be, puts a bit of the trust back into the old way of filmmaking, when you used to shoot on film and yell cut rather than just blindly letting a camera roll for hours on end.
So how do you think it will slim down? Do you literally mean less people involved in the process?
It got to a point in, you know, some of the jobs that I've done, it's a good thing. You know, you have, not, you know, collaboration's always a good thing. And I think what I always liked, do you remember Michael Balk?
Yeah, he was at Abbott Mead when I was
there. So Michael was like, he was chairman at the mill, and I had a really interesting conversation with him about David Abbott and how they used to sort of sell stuff into clients and all the rest of it. And it sort of struck me that a little bit of that, I think, has gone missing a little bit. I think the kind of the agency structure, the client side of it, how they're sort of, how it's dealt with and how things get sold in, there's a bit for me of late has been a little bit, feels that there's too many sort of, too many opinions, and sometimes they're not always on the creative side of it. A lot of it's obviously money driven, time driven and all the rest of it. And I think what, hopefully what this will end up doing is actually saying, you know what, you know, as a director, all you want to do is shoot the best job you can shoot. You know, you're not trying to pull the rug over anybody's eyes and sort of, you know, kind of fuck anybody over. It's like you're always sort of trying to do the best for everybody to get the best job out. And sometimes it always feels a bit like you're battling it the other way sometimes, I think. So I think it might streamline the amount of people that are on set, potentially. I have heard opposing stories to that you get everybody and their dog, quite literally everybody and their dog, sort of watching in on a Zoom conversation while you're trying to shoot something or do something sensible, because I think it then opens it up. I think that's probably one for agencies to probably, I guess, figure out. I'm all for, you know, collaborating on stuff if it makes the job better and ideally smoother.
So just going back 1 minute, is the thing when you were saying, obviously, Michael Balk was telling you how him and David Abbott would sell ideas in, and obviously it made you think that seems like a better way to do it. But how did he describe that? What seemed better about it?
One story that he told me about, him and David Abbott went out for lunch at Michael, because Michael had a table, I think, at the Wolsey or somewhere. And they went out for lunch with whoever it was at the time who was running BT. And they had two scripts on the table, literally on the table in front of them. And they showed them having lunch, and they showed them both scripts. And one, I can't remember what the first one was. Basically, the second script was the Maureen Lipman, basically getting Maureen Lipman involved in the whole ology thing. And they sort of showed them the first script and said, you know, you can do that one for £1 million. And they said, but we've written this one. This one's by far better. It's going to get you known as a brand. It'll kick everything off of BT as a, you know, as a proper, you know, rather than a utility company, as an actual kind of brand. It's got Maureen Lipman in it. And he said, that's great. I love it. It's really funny. How much more is it going to cost? And they said, another £1 million. And he went, fine, done. I'll have it. And that was it. what struck me about it, the way that, you know, I probably told it really badly, but the way, when Michael told it to me, what it sort of rammed home a little bit was when you've got people who just have that massive trust in an agency like them, you know, when you've got somebody like David Abbott, you've got somebody like Michael Bourke talking about stuff like that, and you've got a client who's kind of prepared to stick themselves on the line a little bit and say, yeah, great, we'll take a punt on it. It's going to cost us more money, but we'll take a punt on it. I don't think anybody ever going to look back on that and think it was the wrong thing to do at all. And I wonder if a little bit of that's maybe eroded a touch. It seems to me that clients seem to hold most of the cards, I think. I might be being naive, and maybe they always did.
I'm going to lighten it because I'm trying to find Dave some sourdough friends. We've been searching.
Sourdough?
You're on Parv's bingo card for being a definite sourdough maker.
Oh.
Your reaction so far is saying you've lost your fiver, Parv.
You have. Mate, Parv, you are way out of that, mate. I haven't eaten any bread for about 5 months.
Oh, really?
Let alone make any. I did make some normal kind of brown bread when this all started because I found some yeast. So I did make some bread. But it's funnily enough, actually, I was bemoaning sourdough the other day, saying how crap it was.
Were you? Why?
Yeah, because it's basically fucking inedible, isn't it? I mean, the only thing you can do with it is post it.
You're eating the wrong kind.
Am I?
What are you imagining sourdoughs like?
The thing with it always comes charred, which I don't like.
So have you cooked anything else you can tell us about, Austin?
You know, the one thing that I've been all over, Parv, is the curry. Because I've the last 9 weeks, I've done a 5K run, which I did on Monday. I did a couch to 5K. I've got to do something sort of vaguely sensible. And anybody that knows me sort of relatively well knows that I'm basically a fat wanker that can't run for toffee. So I thought I'd do it. But I thought on top of doing it, I'll give up eating meat and I'll give up eating bread and I'll give up eating chocolate and sweets and all the other crap that goes with it. So I did all that. So I went out again today and did another one. They were 5K run, that is. So I'm sort of feeling quite good about myself. So what that threw at me was not eating meat. Suddenly you're very reliant on basically eating a lot of vegetable curries of varying degrees. So I found a coconut and cauliflower curry, which even the nipper eats, which is a minor miracle because he's normally he'll just sit and eat a potato till it comes out of his ears. Is that good? And it's very easy to make. It's helped a little bit by Tari's sort of spices that he sends me.
Okay. When was the last time you used cash?
Oh, well, that's a really good question. Do you know what? I don't know. I've still got a tenner and a fiver in my wallet that I see every time I get that out to use my cards and think, well, am I ever going to use it again? So, I mean, it would be way before the lockdown started.
It's over 3 months.
Without a doubt. The money's sort of become a bit of a running joke. I wonder, maybe I should get it framed or something and put it up for some sort of weird memorial of like some cash that never got used or something.
So what's the smallest amount you've used your card for?
Do you know what? Probably not anything too stupid, I don't think. I mean, we've sort of been quite good that we've only been out shopping. Obviously, I've done it a few times where I've been out and I haven't really needed anything and I've gone to Sainsbury's and I've always had it up. I've had it in my back pocket where I've sort of taken the kid out with me and I've always thought, if anybody stops me and said that's a non-essential shop, I'll say I just needed to get some milk for the kid. So it was my excuse to get out and go and buy something a bit stupid that I didn't really need, to be honest.
So, mate, when was the last time you wore non-elasticated trousers?
I haven't really worn belted trousers for about 4 years.
4 years? You're right at the top of our leaderboard on that.
Occasionally, when I wear jeans, I'll have to throw a belt on, obviously. But my go-to trouser is a Japanese company who made these very lovely trousers, which my favourite pair actually falling apart, and I need to get hold of a wardrobe seamstress to help me out and fix them. But they're climbing pants, so they've got a sort of ingrained belt, elasticated waistband thing.
So, mate, for the next pandemic, what are you going to hoard?
I didn't really hoard anything this time, if I'm honest. Sort of running out of my own marbles and sanity slightly, but I don't think you can do much about that, can you?
Yeah, tough to hoard. So recommend something to watch, for someone to watch, read or listen to.
I've been terrible at watching TV. I haven't really watched anything on telly. That might come
any old films that people might not have heard of?
Me and the wife did a kind of a film club thing. So we kind of, at the very start, so we sort of picked 5 films each and we kind of had to sit and watch whatever the other person watched and there were no phones allowed and all the rest of it.
Cool.
I picked a lot of Hitchcock films. There's a great Hitchcock film called The Trouble with Harry, which I don't know if you've seen.
I don't think I've seen that. Is that good?
It's very good. It's quite weird. It's
one of his later ones that got flagged off at the time.
No, it was a late-ish. It was a sort of, it was Shirley MacLaine's first ever film role. Edmund Gwynne's in it. It's quite an odd film, but it's worth a watch. It's quite funny. It's a sort of very kind of VistaVision, Technicolor, bright, cheery, odd, slightly dark film. That would be a film recommendation. TV, I would say definitely don't watch Space Force because I just finished that last night and it's fucking terrible. But the one thing that I have been, which I podcast-wise, I'm historically quite bad on podcasts, but a friend of mine called Keith Wager, who lives out in Los Angeles, is a wardrobe stylist and he has done a podcast called It's All Bad with two other guys that he knows. It's very funny. It's very dark. It's very horrible as well. It's about them getting through rehab for various, you know, drug problems, alcohol problems and all the rest of it. And they get different people on to talk about, you know, some of their, you know, their early life and the trouble that they used to get in and the drugs that they took and all the rest of it. And it is pretty life-affirmingly hilarious that these people that have been through some of the most unbelievable, some of the stories are just, you know, absolutely unbelievable.
Cool. Have you seen any advertising that you've liked, enjoyed or hated?
I don't know. I'm a bit of the, this is a terrible thing to say, isn't it? I'm a bit of that sort of school of, you know, when the adverts come on, you go and do something else. I tell you what I did like. I liked that McDonald's thing that Sam Brown did with Steph and Rory, who are very good. I did a job with them a while ago. They're very lovely. I did like that. I quite liked the thing that Ringen did just recently for the Bank of America. I thought that was quite nice in a similar sort of vein. And there was quite a good thing. Parv, you know Phyllis, don't you? Phil Crow?
Yeah.
So Phyllis has just set up a new post company out in LA called Houses of Parliament, I think, or something. And I think they did the Bank of America thing with Ringen, but they also did a little thing with, I think somebody at the White House maybe cut it or did it. And it was a shot going round the Statue of Liberty. And as the camera sort of from a drone, and as the camera comes around it, the Statue of Liberty is wearing a kind of surgical mask, which I thought was just very beautifully done, actually. Quite simple, but really nicely done.
Wicked, mate. That was great. Right. Really interesting.
Lovely. Thanks, Austin. Thanks for that.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
All the best. Cheers, Austin.
All right. Bye.